First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Ed Springston Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringston.com, where you can catch all the replays of the shows and podcasts, or catch up on the latest on what we've been doing. I tell you what, for you guys that are new to the show, the guest call-in numbers are 858-683-1326, or you can call 502-805-0334. And if you want to join our live chat, feel free to sign in using your Facebook or any other thing you've got, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. You can sign into the show and join the live chat. And while you're at the website, LouisvillePolitics.com, join our RSS feed and join our email newsletter, and we will send you everything each week straight to your inbox. Yes, we found all kinds of ways to get a hold of you. And I forgot to mention, for you guys that are in the listening queue, we appreciate you every single night. Make sure you hit that number one on your dial pad if you want to be heard on air. Ed Martin usually joins us on Monday night. He's running a little bit late tonight, apparently, so we're just going to get right to it. I tell you, we have some things to talk about. And, you know, we're going to get into the Greg Fisher side of the Louisville violence and how not to be a mayor and try to fix anything. This guy is a clown. He sent out a letter today, and we're going to get to that in just a minute. I kind of want to start with a couple of other things that won't take as much time. One of the things going on right now, interestingly enough, is Louisville-based Yum! Brands, owners of KFC, Taco Bell, and all those guys, It went on a social media blitz, if you will. They're trying to get the new I-65 bridge named after Kentucky Fried Chicken founder Colonel Harlan Sanders. You know, I get sick. I really get sick of us naming pieces of road like the Martin Luther King Highway. You know, certain sections of road, streets, all these other things about... You know, I'm tired of renaming everything in all these towns after somebody that somebody thinks is prominent. It's a great way to get some cheap votes, but really at the end of the day, come on. Now, if you have somebody who is a major, major force in your city and your city wants to do a city street that way, fine. But really, let's get over this. I mean, you know, it's getting to the point of being humorous. You know, we've got Kentucky State Senator Dan Syme. You know, he's trying to make a big deal. He introduced a resolution in January to get the Transportation Cabinet to designate this bridge as the Ronald Reagan Memorial Bridge. Why in the hell do we have to name our bridge after Ronald Reagan? I would rather have it named after Colonel Sanders. You know, while conservatives think that Ronald Reagan was a god, and I think he did okay, you know, what significance? Why do we have to continue going down this road for naming rights? It is beyond me. I just think it's ridiculous. So if you guys want to name the bridge after somebody, I submit my name. Yes, I do. Forget Colonel Harlan Sanders. Forget Ronald Reagan. Submit my name to the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet. Let's call it the Ed Springsteen BS Bridge. Because that's exactly what these politicians are all about, is bullshit. And, you know, so let's just call it the Ed Springsteen BS Bridge. I mean, we've outed all kinds of people. We've created all kinds of problems for these politicians. We've done more for Louisville than anybody in Louisville is doing today. So let's just do it. Forget all the naming, people. It's the daggone 65 bridge. Let's let it go. How are you, Mr. Martin?
All right, Mr. Springsteen.
Yeah, running a tad bit late, huh?
Yeah, I've been working out some stuff, but a few emails back and forth with my daughter, who is in Lexington.
Oh, she's not in Texas this week, huh?
Well, she's a student, you know, in UK.
Well, why don't you fly her to Texas for the game?
Yeah, you know, you got to impart those little jewels to them. It's like, okay, look, be the kid making the video, not the kid in the video.
I kind of get that, actually. I really, really do. I tell you, speaking of Kentucky, man, I mean, who would have thought, folks, you know, that the University of Kentucky, a number 7 seed, you know, everybody complained about their seeding, but I told everybody at the beginning that it was a just seeding because of the way they played this year throughout the season. Who would have thought they'd be playing a number 7 Kentucky is playing in a national championship game against number 8 UConn? Who would have thought that?
I'll be honest, I would have given UK better odds of getting there than UConn. I mean, they definitely had the bodies the whole time. They just weren't playing mm-hmm. like a team. UConn, I mean, look at UK played number one Florida to whatever, a 1-point SEC title game. So not that big a surprise, but UConn got totally – I mean, they just got pimp slapped by U of L in the AAC tournament by, what, 32 points or something? U of L?
Yep.
Flashed them.
Yep. And see, that's
so,
what makes it interesting.
I mean, how you come off of a close game, fine, but how do you regroup after a 32-point shellacking in a tournament? I have no idea how you come put it back together.
If you ask any coach in America, they will tell you, they don't mind having a loss late in the year or during the tournament to get their guys fired up for the NCAA. They don't mind a conference tournament loss because that fires guys up.
I understand that. I understand. And a UK loss was a damn good loss. It was a loss, so it braced them. But it was a competitive loss. I think hats off to this Ollie coach for UConn. Because mm-hmm. there's a difference between a loss and being doubled up, which U of L almost did to them, and being totally embarrassed, not even in the game. It's like, you know, you're putting up hockey scores and the other team is putting up basketball scores, and how they managed to get it back together going into the, you know, with no games beyond that, and then get into the NCAA tournament and not be just completely demoralized from the memory of getting shellacked. 32 points.
Well, I tell you, it's really crazy because Kentucky lost to Florida three times this year, and UConn dominated Florida. I mean, they owned the game the whole way. So, you know, that was really interesting, too. UConn coming off that major loss to U of L. Kentucky coming off this hard-fought loss to Florida in the last meeting. But, you know, here UConn blows out Louisville, and then they beat Florida by double digits. Now they're going to face off against Kentucky. And I want to make something clear here, too. Because at the beginning of the tournament, before the first game was ever played, what did I say? I said you're not going to see Florida or Arizona in the Finals Four. Florida made the Final Four, but they did not make the final game. I told you they weren't going to be there.
I thought Florida would get pasted. I really didn't think that our boys from Arizona were going to get it because they were healthy again. They were playing good defense, and you know, either way, I'm actually proud to say I did not lose anything on the brackets this year because I took a couple looks at them and just the brackets are, to me, are kind of like the Derby. I'm just that bad at them. Somebody gives me one, you know, I'll copy one off of the website and I'll fill them out a couple times and, you know, fill out a couple, but I won't put any money in it because I just, it's horrible. I mean, you know, it's a point of ridicule for me. We would do them at work and everybody put them on their doors and you get a, you know, black Sharpie and you black out. I mean, mine just looked like, it looked like you were drawing the brackets in black. It's like, how do you miss that many?
Oh, it's hilarious, man. It really is.
I don't do it. I can openly admit I would have thought U of L to be a Final Four team. I didn't think UK was going to get past Wichita State. I thought it would be close, but I figured they would choke being freshmen. I have no way I would have picked Duke out that early. I had Arizona in there going to the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just no good at it. So,
well, I tell you,
before too long, I'm going to make my Derby predictions for everybody. And believe me, if you think I'm bad at bracket picking, there is no one that comes close to me being a bad. I've gotten to the point that I honestly think I jinx horses in the Derby. So when I pick my horse, run away.
Well, I'll tell you, it's really interesting. And the other interesting thing, too, because we kind of want to keep this short, I guess, but the other interesting thing, too, is, and it's another thing that may have fired up these freshmen at Kentucky as well, because Willie Cauley-Stein is one of Kentucky's best players. And, you know, he hurt his ankle in the Louisville game, and that's it. You know, he hasn't played the last two games, and Kentucky's found a way to win. You know, so it's going to be interesting going into tonight, because I tell you, Julius Randle is incredible. It has been incredible this whole tournament. Alex Young has been incredible. I mean, he's fairly consistent all year. But Alex Poitras, who's picking up a bunch of playing time now that Willie Cauley-Stein is gone, this guy has been phenomenal. So it's going to be an interesting game. I'll go on record right now and say that I think Kentucky wins by three. I think it's going to be a close game, but I'll give Kentucky about three. They've got the spread at two or something like that, last I heard. So I think Kentucky beats the spread. But, you know, it's going to be interesting because, you know, UConn is very, very quick. They're not scared to mix it up, you know, but they like to run a controlled pace game. They're fast on defense, but they like to run a controlled offense. So it's going to be interesting because Kentucky likes to get up and down the floor. So whoever can establish the offensive rhythm is going to win this game, and I think it will be Kentucky. And yes, in the chat room, I'm being chastised for getting tongue-tied.
I'll say the same thing I said when U of L played. You know, the thing is Wisconsin wanted to slow it down against UK and didn't do a bad job of it. When they ran, they didn't run bad, and UK wants to run.
Right.
UConn likes to run. So I think it's going to be one hell of a game. I'm not going to guess because my heart, you know, I want to keep it in the state. But if I come out, and I'm not going to pick it. But I think this is like the U of L UK game. If both teams are not absolutely on their game, you're going to lose because UConn.
Well, I tell you,
UConn has already shown they can take apart a battleship like Florida if you're not playing the perfect game. And UK has shown that they can take apart juggernaut like U of L if they're not playing the perfect game. So
Well, I got to be honest with you.
It could come down to foul trouble. It's just going to be a hell of a game. I certainly hope UK wins. And, my only regret is I haven't had the opportunity to get the oldest couch in my basement to Lexington because I thought I'd stop falling for it tonight.
I hear you, man. I hear you. Well, I tell you, for me, Kentucky, I would have never picked to be in the final, and I didn't. I had Kentucky going out against Wichita State myself on my bracket. So, I'm a big blue lover, but I'm also realistic, or at least try to be realistic when I fill out my bracket. But I tell you what, this Kentucky team over the last several games has shown the promise that everybody gave them at the beginning of the year. And I tell you, it's going to be very, very interesting because these guys, I mean, let's face it, at this stage of the year, you can't call anybody a freshman anymore. They've played too many hard games. They've played too tough a schedule anywhere in the country. A freshman is not a freshman by the time they get to their conference tournaments, and they're certainly not freshmen when they get to the NCAA. So this is a pretty good thing. I'm kind of looking forward to it, but I will go ahead and say Kentucky, if the spread is still 2, and I think it is, I will say Kentucky by 3. But you know what? People don't come here for this. People don't come here to listen to all of this. We've got all kinds of things going on. We started with the little bridge thing. But yesterday we had a great turnout for Free Pack. Free Pack, Lynn Beck's organization, he was a featured speaker. He came in to give the keynote address as part of Free Pack. And a lot of people are really wondering if this wasn't anything more than a clandestine Matt Bevin campaign event. Matt Bevin was the final speaker before Glenn Beck got on stage. Glenn Beck, of course, said that Matt Bevin was called from God to run for office, building up everything they can with Matt Bevin. Everybody mentioned Matt Bevin. It's really interesting. FreedomWorks had brought 10,000 yard signs to give out to people that showed up at this event on behalf of Matt Bevin. And if that's the case, we're really drawing a fine line here as far as what's acceptable and what's not, because corporations can't do this. So if this was a corporate event that's disguised as a Matt Bevin campaign, they really towed the line. But what makes it even more interesting, man, I tell you, Bevin has got to be one of the – I just don't get this guy. I don't get this guy. I'm really, really curious who this guy really is because I don't understand him. There's a story that came out in the Courier yesterday – Saturday, where Matt Bevin was defending cockfighting, Ed. What do you say about that?
Well, fair enough. I mean, he's now in a way, I'm not making excuses for him, but I had a few, when I ran, I had a few people saying, why are you wasting your time with those, assholes or whatever? And I just told somebody, I said, look, when you're an underdog, any safe harbor in a storm, he was invited to speak there. It was conservative, although I don't think the kind of conservative he's looking for, it's kind of like, let's just say
right.
Storm Front, the white separatist organization they're considered conservative by some, not the kind of guy you want to associate with, but I think he just, he accepted an invitation and, to be fair, I think when somebody invites you to come speak or you arrange something, the least you could do is, put that – if you really like the candidate, put the crap like that on hold for a little while, let all the media go away. He made a mistake, and it by no means suggested that he condones that, but, just an amateur move. One of his staffers just pulled an amateur move, enthusiastically drum up some support, and blew it.
Well, I tell you, it's interesting. I mean, all 50 states have banned cockfighting. It's against the law in all 50 states. The federal farm bill that just passed a couple months ago in February also made it a federal crime to attend a cockfight or a dogfight. Those kind of things. So, he went to this rally in Corbin knowing that it was a rally to legalize cockfighting in Kentucky. Now, what he's trying to do is backtrack because he knows he made a mistake and he won't admit it, and that's another cause for concern. But he went on Terry Miner's show, to talk about the rally and all this other stuff. Says that he's never been to a cockfight and he doesn't condone cockfighting. But then he tried to turn it into, you know, people exercising their First Amendment rights. Well, you know what? I'm a First Amendment supporter, obviously. You know, but I'm not going to go to a known cockfighting rally as a candidate for the U.S. Senate. If he was running as a local politician in Corbin, Kentucky, you damn well bet you he should be there, you know, because that's his neighborhood. But to sit here and go to this and make a speech and everything else and talk about their rights to cockfighting and all this, that's just ridiculous. That is dumb, 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 dumb. And that's the thing with Matt Bevin that's concerned me from the very beginning. This guy is doing everything he can to lose and not doing one thing to try to win. And I think that that's a difference here. You know, it's one thing to go out and try to win, but his handlers are this stupid, and he's dumb enough to do this stuff without putting two and two together. The guy's not intelligent enough for me to be a U.S. senator. I don't think he's intelligent enough right now to be on the Metro Council.
Yeah, well, I think that's, you know, and that's a point of concern for me. That's that when you're a senator, you're one of, you know, the 102 most powerful people in the world. It's no longer amateur hour. You can get away. You know, I think some Congress people, and obviously some do, if you go on YouTube and stuff, some say some pretty stupid stuff, but at least you're insulated by 435 others, you know. You only comprise, you know, whatever, a quarter of a percent of the vote. You can't do that much damage. But yeah, it definitely gives you cause for concern. It's like, okay, well, maybe he didn't know, but then I got to stop and think. Generally, when you go to Washington, if you win, it's usually, especially if you're new, it's your staffers. It's your campaign staffers that are going to comprise a fair amount of your staff.
Well, and that's the thing.
Now, looking at it, thinking, okay, so the same people that didn't vet this venue for cockfighting are... Now they're going to be running a senator's office, one of only the two that our state has. It's like it's especially in a senator's race, it's cause for concern when somebody acts like amateur hour. And I don't blame Matt. Like I say, at some point you're running ragged here, there. You don't have time to personally vet everything, but somebody on his staff.
Well, listen, man, and I'll disagree with you on that. And I tell you, you know, we both run for office. And I know we didn't run for a U.S. office like Matt Bevin is. It's been local or state offices. But I've got to be honest with you here. You know, if the best decision you can make when you're running for office is to hire people that work for you that don't have a clue, then you've got a problem. Now, remember, Matt Bevin is an upper crust East Ender out of Connecticut. He transplanted to Louisville a dozen years ago. But he's an upper crust East Ender out of Connecticut. He walks around with his sweaters tied around his neck like the ultimate yuppie, okay? His media people that do his campaign commercials and everything else, to my knowledge, are hired out of Indiana. His staff people, to my knowledge, are not locals. Here's a guy who is out of touch with Kentucky and thinks he knows what's going on. If you make a mistake like that and then you get the opportunity to go on a Terry Miner show and correct that mistake, that's a perfect opportunity. Terry Miner wishes he had the listeners we have, but it's a perfect opportunity to sit here and say, hey, you know what, in hindsight, I was there to support the First Amendment. I wasn't there to support cockfighting, and I understand why people would misperceive that, you know, and I apologize to those people because I do not condone it in any way, which he did go on record as saying. But he tried to justify it. That's the thing. He tried to justify it. I mean, he just kept talking. He's worse than I am when he starts running his mouth. You know, he had to keep talking. You look at cockfighting and dogfighting as well. This isn't something new. It wasn't invented in Kentucky. The Founding Fathers were all very actively involved in this and always have been. Well, the Founding Fathers have been dead for hundreds of years, so what do you mean they always have been? You know, but he just had to keep going on and on and on to try to justify. And that is not what you want the voters to look at and hear, you know, and get any credibility. That is a big concern. You know, now he's got all the Humane Society people after him. You got people like me. I'm an animal rights lover, and this is ridiculous to me that he would do that. You know, and I just can't understand why he kept trying to justify. It just totally boggles my mind. That's just it. So, you know, for whatever reason, he did, and it was crazy. You know, well, we got our own problems, though, right here in Louisville, Ed. You know, we've got this idiot mayor out there who doesn't have a clue on what the hell to do with this town when things go wrong. You know we had the violent outbreak a few weeks ago, back in March, with the Saturday night violence. A gang of teenagers went around beating up people trying to destroy property. We know that the LMPD knew that this was something that is normal for Waterfront Park. We know that they ignored all the warning signs that this was going to happen. Now, the mayor's first response was to get a bunch of his white friends and go down and walk along the same bridge down at Waterfront Park where all of this rioting and everything else started at. So he takes a bunch of his white friends dressed in suit to sit down there and show the community involvement. Yeah, right. You know, while all the African American population at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the punks are in bed sleeping it off from the night before, and the good people in the African American community are sitting in church at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So there was no way they were going to be a part of that walk. No, this was all by design. And I tell you, it's interesting because now you finally got the teenage community actually fighting back. You know, Fisher wants to add 26 cameras. He put out a letter today. We'll get into that in just a second. You know, but we've got local hip-hop guy, DJ Young. He is very well known in the teen community. And he's laughing about the $227,000 that the mayor is spending on cameras, and I agree with him. He goes, why would you invest in cameras when what we're telling you is we need activities? You're trying to make those other people in those nice cars feel safe when they come downtown. That's it. You just want to keep the money downtown. You don't want to help us. You're helping yourself, and that's all it is. And I agree with DJ Young. Go ahead.
Well, and plus with the price of the cameras, somebody's getting taken care of.
Sure.
Those are steep. I've put security cameras up before. They're not. That is a healthy price tag.
Oh sure. Well, it's like the $61 million they spent trying to get all the radios on the same wavelength when we merged. $61 million, and then the price went up. You know, I could have had it all done for $3.5 million. I even put the plan out there and who I could get to do it back in 2006. You know, this is the crazy stuff that we're going on. You know, and DJ Young, you know, says it. I mean, he says, do you know how many kids' lives I could change with that much money? And for guys who think that DJ Young is just somebody that's running his mouth, his real name is Shamont Mayfield. He grew up in West Louisville at 39th and Market Street. This guy gets involved. He throws weekly parties for teens across the city. He does everything he can to get teens involved and give them something else to do, you know, during his weekly parties rather than go out and cause havoc and do violence. You know, and he asked a real question here, and I agree with it. The question is, what's so different about it now? Because some lady got beat up. What is so different about us beating ourselves up? It's been here. It isn't going anywhere anytime soon. And he's right, because of asinine things like this. Fisher wants to take his white bread community and walk along a bridge where nobody's going to pay attention to it, but he'll get his media people out there because that's what they're good at. That's all they do is get the photo op, all right? But, you know, even then, you know, we've got teens that are telling us that this doesn't happen. Remember Jaywan Taylor? We mentioned him last week, 14-year-old. Yep. You know, he said, come to Beecher Terrace and walk through there. But you come through there in a suit, ain't nobody going to talk to you. You know, we had 14 so far that have been arrested. You know, but DJ Young actually puts it out there and makes it real, too. He goes on to tell everybody, that's no big deal. Because when a young person gets arrested and sentenced to jail or prison, they come out as a better criminal. How many times have we talked about that? And DJ Young points it out. They come out as a better criminal, and they come out with a larger reputation. So when they're a victim of a violent act, you know, if they survive, that actually gives you street creds that you might not have had before. So if it's black-on-black crime and the person who's been the victim survives, they've got street creds. You know, how do you justify this?
Well, you know, I say there, this mayor, I don't like him. You don't like him. I mean, what I look at is what they're doing right now is they're focusing all these efforts, as best I can tell, on a creek bank, really. It's a glorified riverbank. It's a big open space where people come to recreate. It's not where people live. It's not. It's where very few make their living on some of the restaurants down there. But this is just a recreational area, and we're going to spend hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of dollars to make it safer for people to recreate. And nothing wrong with that. I don't go downtown to recreate. I live in the sticks. I don't need to drive all the way downtown to take my shoes off and walk in grass. I got it here. But the point for me is that's great. That's, like they said, it's for not necessarily just rich white people, but, you know, for people, it is a place of recreation. It's a public place of recreation. Let's focus on where people live, you know, where they go to school, where they apparently right now don't work, you know, because there's a job desert. Let's focus on the fact that in those areas of town, they have food deserts. I mean, all you can buy is alcohol, fast food, and, you know, chips and dips in a lot of places. There's so much else to focus on, but our mayor, because, you know, ooh, thunder's coming, ooh, the summer concert series is coming, and all this, you know, ooh, it's time for the tourists. So let's wake up. You know, he's probably really regretting everything right now, which you need to turn back the clock. But, you know, I look at it and say, that's great. You're doing that. You know, and then I say, you know why he's doing it? It's because the genie's finally out of the bottle. There have been problems down there up to this far. The only reason they're backpedaling, the only reason they're doing anything is because they literally got caught doing nothing.
Oh, well, there's no doubt. There's no doubt about it. But they're still not doing anything. But lip service and photo ops and dumb stuff. I mean,
no,
you know,
they're
Young...
going to put cameras up. They're going to put cops in a couple acres worth of area that's really actually quite easy to patrol because it's mostly open space. And they're going to call the problem fixed. And like the kid said, why don't you walk yourself on over to Beachy Terrace? Or why don't you walk the alleyway behind 4th Street Live, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. And, you know, and DJ Young goes on to say that everybody is just living to get shot. If you live through that, then you're the man. And he's absolutely right. That is the mentality of today's youth, primarily in the West End of the African-American community. You know, and Jaywan Taylor, this 14-year-old kid, I tell you, I've got so much respect for this 14-year-old kid who has to live through all of this stuff every day for having the guts to let his name be used and go on air discussing this. But Taylor talked to WFPL, and I posted that story in the chat room just a second ago. But Taylor told WFPL that the only way young people can work into the public conversation or at least feel community inclusion is through violence. He went on to say that there's no more talking. We've said all we can say. We've tried all we can try. So now we turn to violence because when we act out and show out, that's the only time they reach out to us. And he's absolutely right. And this has been going on for dozens and dozens of years. This is what we've continued to talk about here on this show. This is what has been a personal involvement of mine for many, many years, and many other people across this city. We are sick and tired of the West End being left behind by predominantly white Democratic leadership and the daggone sellout black leadership that continues to get rich at their expense. Attica Scott doesn't do anything down in the West End. Barbara Shanklin doesn't do anything in Newburgh. I mean, let's call it the way it is here. When we had all the violence down in Attica Scott's district during the whole Judy Greene thing, when Judy Greene was ousted and she got office, what'd she do? She went down there and talked about flowers in somebody's yard and cutting grass, and that's going to make the community better. That ain't going to do squat for the community. It's a photo op to protect the damn job. That's the kind of junk that these guys have got to listen to. You got Kevin Cosby down there getting rich off the black man. He hasn't done one thing in the West End community to make the West End community better. You don't see any infrastructure. He just walked away from a deal, and I get chastised for that, and I'm sorry. I know that everybody feels different sometimes, some ways, but this workforce training facility, he should have fought his butt off for. Should have made it public and went crazy with it. Instead, he backed off and got a $300,000 grant given to Simmons College so that he can control more money, but the west end of Louisville lost. And that's what always drives me nuts. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation. And I tell you, we have got the letter that Greg Fisher sent out today, and it should be even more insulting. It's pathetic. We'll talk about that in a minute. Listen to the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Springsteen Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Don't forget, folks, you can still call. There's still time. 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. And for you guys that are listening, can you hit that little number 1 on the dial pad and we'll get you on air as soon as possible. I tell you, Ed, we're going into commercial break and we're talking about Mayor Fisher's lack of response. And the biggest thing he's looking at now is he's looking for legal avenues to hold the parents of these delinquent kids accountable. Now, what's really interesting about that, we always talk on this show about holding parents accountable, and we should. We should. There's no doubt in my mind about that. However, this is his big way of telling the West End community and delinquent kids in the West End community, we're going to go after your parents. So guess what? You get another free ride. You know what I mean? This is crazy. But it's not the parents. This is not just a parent thing. This starts from the top down. This is a generational thing that is carried over. You know, when you look at the problems in the West End and you look at everything that's happening here, you know, our government leadership screwed the people of the West End over and made the West End nothing more than the old Wild West, uncontrolled. They created that. You know, the parents today, they don't have any interest in doing their job. And quite frankly, if you're a parent, a real parent, you're out there probably working two jobs. And since most of these kids are being raised in single-parent households or with grandparents or whatever, at what age can you stop looking after them 24 hours a day? Now, I'm not saying a parent's job is ever done, but I am saying a 15-year-old at home, you know, I go to work. If I have to work a second shift job to buy food and my 15-year-old is at home, guess what? I'm going to trust that 15-year-old to do the right thing. I have no choice. I have no choice. You know, and that's the thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was the latchkey kid before there were latchkey kids, you know. And
right.
And Granted, I'd say around Hitler days, I probably ate more than my fair share of graham crackers or Oreos, but, you know, I didn't break any laws. I didn't set anything on fire or beat anybody up. You know, and I've made the joke before of, like, I know how to break into houses because every once in a while, somebody forgets to put the key out. You know, it's cold. Me and my brother would figure out how to get into a locked house. But, yeah, it's, you know, and the thing that gets me is Mayor Fisher is like, now. And this is the word that I'm going to keep using when referring to Mayor Fisher is now, he says, now, after fudging the police reports and the crime reports, now, after not addressing the core issue that they actually knew was there, but, you know, they kept swept under their carpets.
Right.
Now, after there's a beat down, he goes on and makes this buffoonery. It really was. It's just a sorry excuse for a press conference because, you know, this is an isolated incident. You know, this is a rare incident. Bam, no, it's not. You know? So now, after all that, now he's calling for the parents to be accountable because, whoops, you know, you got to deflect it somewhere because our government sure as hell wasn't accountable. We couldn't even count on our government. A local government to give us an accurate crime report.
Well, you know what? That's actually.
They were fudging the crime report, and now it's like, well, no, we're going to hold the parents responsible. Damn it!
Well, that's it.
It's like, okay. Well, at what point does somebody that gets beat up on the waterfront that maybe look at your crime map? Did you know something happened to them? But they're like, my God, this is the first time this has ever happened to me. Okay, so if you're going to hold the parents responsible, when do we hold the mayor responsible and the chief responsible and the assistant chief or the deputy chief or the beat cops or anybody that's involved with fudging the numbers and giving a false sense of security in that area, when are we going to hold them accountable? I'm all for holding the parents accountable, but no, you don't get to write a letter and deflect because you failed too.
Well, that's exactly it, and I think deflect is the right word here. Let's go to the phones. Paul, you're on.
Greetings, guys. Listen, I wanted to address this letter that Mayor Fisher put out there. I tell you, I find it to be quite disingenuous in a lot of respects. And the number one aspect why that is annoying is that you were alluding to a 14-year-old kid who basically said that all these solutions being proposed by Fisher and crew missed the mark, okay? And the kid's right. The kid is 100% right on that. That's what's amazing. And yet Fisher and his entire crew miss that totally because it comes from a kid. Now, if you have a problem and the problem wants to speak to you about the problem, then you ought to listen. Okay, but instead, Fisher issues a letter, and the letter basically says, well, here's what we have done, and here's what we have, and this is a great phrase, what we have under consideration. Now, that is not much of a plan of action from where I sit. Plus, this letter contains a number of other intentionally misleading pieces of info. For example, one of the things that Fisher quotes in there is that he's asking all 750,000 citizens to help him out. Well, the city of Louisville does not have 750,000 citizens. In fact, in 2007, the estimate of the city of Louisville was about 275,000 at the most. So he's including all of Jefferson County. And even the United States Census Bureau says that if you include the city of Louisville plus the unincorporated parts of Jefferson County, you still only come up with 602,000, leaving all the other small cities in the county out of that number. So, again, Fisher had an opportunity to accurately represent a detail, and he chose not to do that. All right. Then the second and last thing that was noteworthy to me about his letter is that Fisher is basically shifting the responsibility for all of this onto everybody else. Okay.
Well, sure.
He is saying that they need to extend center hours at the community centers around the county. Well, I happen to be a regular attendee at one of the community centers, and Fisher said he's going to extend the hours in the summertime. Well, guess what's not going to happen? They're not going to extend any hours because the community centers are part of the Metro Parks Department, and Metro Parks is considered to be the stepchild of all of government. They had their hours budget cut a long time ago, and it's not going to get restored just because Fisher puts it in a letter. I know how they work. I've seen it. So,
well, it's funny
again,
you bring that up.
Fisher's being disingenuous again.
Well, of course he is. It's all lies. I mean, let's face facts here.
And something, you know, I'm one that tries to look at cause and effect a lot of times. I look at it and say, oh, great. So, you know, and pardon my sarcasm, but it's just part of my DNA. Oh, great. So you want to extend the community centers and all that. Why? Aren't these – oh, wait, that's right. You've done dick. You haven't done dick to give these kids jobs.
There you go.
Well,
that's
here's the thing.
Because that's basically like throwing your hands up in the air and go, what? We have no idea what to get these kids. We have no idea. There are no jobs. We're clueless how to create jobs. So let's just give them ping pong balls and worn out ping pong paddles. That should fix it.
Let me tell you something. Let's go through this letter, and before we get there, though, I want to point this out, because I had a meeting last week with some people that are involved in these community centers. I'm not going to name their names. It was a private meeting by agreement. But, you know, there's a lot of things that aren't being addressed. Even the community centers of the West End, for example. You know, it's like when you go to a community center, typically, with the exception of Sun Valley, right out here, we know why that is, right, Mr. Kreider? Okay, Democrat operative Ray Kreider and his daughter, she's the one that runs Sun Valley. But typically all these other community centers and everything else that you go through, okay, you have a set time. So the elderly can be there from, let's say, you know, 8 in the morning till noon, and they have to be rushed out so they can let another age group in from noon to 4, et cetera. There is no community in community center because everything is segregated by the city. The city makes this decision. So let me ask you this before I get into this letter, though. Does it not make sense? Here we have kids like Jaywan Taylor and everything else telling us that they don't have anything, that the only time that the city gets involved in the West End of their issues is when there's violence. That's their way of acting out and reaching out to get something back. So what about something simple like a community center where the elderly and the young can cohabitate? Do you not think that these young who are begging for parental guidance or some kind of adult supervision or some adult that can give them something, don't you think that a senior at one of these community centers could sit there and talk with one of these young guys and let them know about their life, for example, them working, the things that they've done, the things that they've been through? How many seniors went through the real racial problems and the riots and everything else that can relate to these black children who don't understand what the fight was about?
Your idea has merit, but here the fly in that ointment is the fact that the youth do not attend these community centers, the city operated community centers, in any great numbers. And I'm going to give you a good example of why. All right, I'm going to tell you the name of the center that I attend. It's called the Beachmont Community Center, okay, in South Louisville. Yep. Beachmont Community Center at one time had 2 outdoor basketball goals. They were heavily used by the young people, heavily used. That was 3 years ago. The city came along and removed those outdoor basketball goals available for 24/7 use because kids were showing up after dark playing basketball using the headlights of their cars to play, since the city didn't put any lighting on the court, and as a result, the youth went away. Now, if that management style is being used countywide at all of the community centers, it is no wonder the kids are roaming the streets. And yet, Fisher's coming along, talking out of the other side of his mouth about how we need to expand the hours. Well, what the hell is that going to do if they don't have anything to do? Damn it, under Fisher's watch, these basketball goals were removed, for God's sakes.
Well, that's exactly it. You know, and that brings me to the letter. because that's exactly what's going on. We're not giving these kids anything, and the little avenues that they did have available to blow off steam in a basketball game or whatever, they took away. You know, that's the whole point here. And if you want to look at this, I mean, let's look at things realistically, okay? I pay for the streetlights on my street. All right, the neighborhood association used to, that we paid dues to, they went out of business a couple of years ago, so I pay for a couple of streetlights on my street, all right, out of my pocket each and every year. Okay, now I can tell you that those streetlights are not expensive to pay for. How expensive is it for our police and for all the emergency personnel and everything else to be on call or on standby? All right, because they don't want to put lights on the court at Beachmont. Think about that. How much? What is the end result here? How much more violence do we have that costs us more money than a few simple lights on a basketball court, on an outside basketball court at Beachmont? You know how much money could be saved just paying for those lights so these kids have something to do? And then, of course, they're going to scream and holler, well, curfew, curfew, curfew. They're there after dark. They're there after dark. Well, let them scream and holler because these kids are going to be outside after dark anyway. That's the whole
thing.
Well,
that was another thing. That was another thing in Fisher's letter that I found kind of disingenuous. He's saying we need to find something for the kids to do at community centers and extend their hours. And then in the very next breath, he threatens to more aggressively enforce Louisville's curfew law.
Well, that's exactly it. And here's the thing. And this, if you want the truest reason that Greg Fisher is doing the only things he's doing now, it's this. In his letter, it says, the following are actions that are either in place or under consideration, as Paul pointed out a minute ago. The first thing he lists is increased public safety presence. So what he goes on to say in that particular paragraph is, we have significantly increased our police presence downtown and at Waterfront Park, bikes, foot, horseback, patrol cars. They're now going to have an around-the-clock presence at the Big Four Bridge. You know, that's where a cop sits in his car talking on a cell phone, eating donuts, or taking a nap. All right, just like they did during the bridge that they had to repair, the Sherman Minton. And he goes on to say that a highly visible new police substation will soon be located near, guess where? The Arena and 4th Street Live. That's the downtown entertainment corridor.
Now they're going to do that? I mean, I thought 4th Street Live was crime-free. I thought the Waterfront Park was crime-free. So why are we putting a station there?
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting because, you know, now he's going to put a station there. But think about this. We've increased the police at Waterfront Park. We're going to put this new substation at 4th Street Live and near the arena. So we're going to protect 4th Street Live and the arena because that's where the bread and butter is for the entertainment district. We're going to put new police presence at Waterfront Park. So we're still not addressing these kids and the problems and why they're doing the things they're doing.
Yeah.
All we're doing is running them to a different location away from what we want to protect.
Just like the kid said, we're going to protect a bunch of, and like I said, I'm loath, the phrase everybody uses, you know, white people in their expensive cars. But no, we're spending tax dollars to protect a bunch of people recreating. Not where they live, not where they work, not where they go to school. Not the systemic. We're protecting the transient recreators, whether they're in from out of town, they want to pay for an overpriced burger or beer, or whether they want to go down to the waterfront and take some pictures, whatever. We're protecting those people. We're not investing in the education, the housing, the health care, or the jobs of the people that represent and the demographic groups that represent the systemic problem. We're not addressing it, and we're not going to address it.
And in the meantime, the city of Louisville is going to assist with a Walmart location by paying $1.8 million for some additional real estate that's on the tax rolls at under $300,000. Now, that is helping the folks in that part of the county, too, isn't it?
Yeah, sure it is. But here's another interesting thing, too, in the increased public safety. All right. He has also went on to say that the downtown partnership has increased the times that its ambassadors will walk the streets. The Waterfront Development Corp you know, Kenny Herner's little project, has added security, and TARC has enhanced security on specific bus routes. Now, here's the thing about these ambassadors. I rarely give this guy very much credit, but he does great work on a case, and his name is Jacob Payne. And there's a story he's got that came out about a downtown ambassador that our lovely mayor wants to put out on the street acting like they're somebody. Downtown ambassador beat up a Jimmy John's employee at 4th and Broadway, gave him 14 stitches and everything else. Charles Johnson is the employee, and he finally went ahead and filed charges for assault. But this ambassador went to the Jimmy John's. This guy was coming back from a delivery, a walk delivery, not a car delivery. He had walked on foot to Brown Brothers Cadillac right up the road to make this delivery and came back. And then this idiot ambassador accused him of practically running over him in his car. He wasn't in his car. He was walking. And he told him he was wrong, that he hadn't been in his vehicle. Then this ambassador started screaming and cussing at him and everything else, and finally started hitting the guy with his umbrella, started beating him up. This is the city ambassadors that Greg Fisher loves so much. So, you know, we've got to start looking at this as well. But then, of course, we talk about the 26 cameras. The 26 cameras are going to be at Waterfront Park. They're going to be there in time for Thunder Over Louisville on April the 12th. Okay, they're putting all these cameras to protect 4th Street Live, Waterfront Park, the Big Four Bridge. I haven't seen one mention of anything that they're doing for the kids, the neighborhood of the West End. Accountability. They're talking about, you know, the arrests that have been made and how they're going to go after the parents. And then he gets into the youth development. And he wants to talk about, you know, the Safe and Healthy Neighborhoods Initiative. I don't know who that is in the background. But he wants to get here and talk about the city's Safe and Healthy Neighborhoods Initiative that was put in place after the 2012 triple homicide in Parkland. Really? How's that been working? He wants to use mentors, churches, and young adults. The churches have been taking advantage of the same community they're supposed to represent forever. Ask your reverends downtown. Ask Kevin Cosby. Ask a certain reverend at Crane Corporation. Ask a lot of these different guys. They're getting their money. The neighborhoods aren't getting any better. They're getting worse. So then they want to talk about summer works. It's the first year of Fisher's administration, and they employ all these teens. They want to work with Metro United Way on out-of-school time. Then, of course, they mentioned the community centers, as Paul talked about, increasing their hours. This is such a joke. This guy is so out of touch with everything. And we continue. Well, we don't. But the West End community continues electing these clowns. He is no different than his predecessors. You go to the West End, you spread a little money around, you get elected, then you forget about him. As far as I'm concerned, that makes these guys white racist. That's it.
Yeah,
that's
Fisher definitely can relate to the folks, to the 14-year-old kids in the West End, because Fisher lives in a $1.7 million house in the Bonnycastle neighborhood. And the 14-year-old kid, I'm sure, can't even imagine living in a house as grandiose and in as an exclusive neighborhood as Fisher. So Fisher is like many of Louisville's ruling elites. These people, again, they think that they have all the answers, and yet they don't even know what the problem is. How can you provide an answer if you don't even know what the problem is, and they don't want to know? All they want to do is keep the problem away from them. That's it.
They don't know what the question is.
I'm going to go as far to say is they do know what the problem is. It's hard not to know what the problem is. You may not be able to empathize with it, but you know what the problem is. The problem with people like Fisher is that, I know it love hate relationship with Jake, but every once in a while, years ago he said he does this consultant speak. He speaks in these little business cliches, and obviously not very animated if you're listening to him talk, you know, for our viewers. But the thing is he doesn't emotionally connect with the problem, so going to stand there and say, well, you know, I'm going to form, it's just the same old, it's basically, it's a figuratively, it's a different way of saying I'm going to form a committee. I'm going to delegate, I'm going to delegate the responsibility to everyone. It takes a village. I mean, take any number of self-help and groupthink one line you come up with, and that's it's safe territory for a guy like Fisher. He's been insulated. His dad built the company, handed it off to him, and he did well with it. But
they don't care. They just don't care.
It's a safe way of doing things. It's just like somebody would have stood around and said, I'm looking for a synergistic solution. Oh, really? What the hell is that?
Well, I tell you, I've got one problem, and I know the solution to it. The problem is we're out of time. The solution is we get into closing rants. Paul, thank you so much for the phone call. We really appreciate it, my friend, and I'll talk to you soon, I'm sure. Ed Martin, final thoughts.
Final thoughts. You know, we're on this, and I tend to agree with a lot of the stuff you say about the Democrat mafia. It's all based on the status quo. It's the status quo and window dressing, right up to and our mayor standing there, and whether he knew or didn't know or just thought he could pull it off for one more month or something. When the violence broke out, and he said it was an isolated incident. It's window dressing. And once again, if you want to see where this guy's heart lies, it's all on the surface. Image is everything. They're talking about everything that we talked about tonight, most everything they're talking about doing involves getting troubled youth out of sight. Come somewhere you can corral them. Let's put the cameras up and protect the tourists. Let's protect the people that can go somewhere else and say something nice or bad about our city. Let's not fix the problems. That's kind of where we're at with this administration. I got to be honest, and I'll follow a little bit of a tangent, but the Republicans didn't actually put a candidate up against Fisher for his mayoral race this year. About now, they have to be regretting that something fierce.
Well, I tell you, I am sick of this game, and that's exactly what it is. I mean, for people who believe in conspiracy theories or think I'm a nut job, let's look at the reality here. You have higher crime in the West End communities because the West End doesn't have a community. It doesn't have a community because rich white Democrat mafia leaders have decided the West End wasn't going to be a community. It's a great way to run your drugs. It's a great way to run your crime through, because at the top of the heap in every one of these crime waves that are going on through there, somebody's getting paid for the drugs. Somebody's getting paid for the guns. And in most cases, it's the rich white guy. Bootlegging wasn't a black problem. The black guys were doing a lot of the driving, but that wasn't a black problem. The white guy was getting rich from it, and it's the same thing now. Now, I hate to come off as somebody who's screaming racism, 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 because I think too many people abuse it. But when you look at the history in Louisville from the white, democratic, rich, elite leadership, like your Greg Fishers, his predecessor, Jerry Abramson, and you look at the problems that we have inherent in there, when you talk about trying to make sure the visitors through this city get to have something nice to say about us, well, sure they do. They get to go to 4th Street Live because they've got so many police down there. You're a fool if you're a criminal to try to break through. That doesn't mean the criminal action still isn't taking place. It just means it moved a little bit further away, period, the end. So you get to hear all this. When you look at Louisville right now, and you look at this Democratic Mafia-style leadership that we've got, I can't help but think about other major cities who have prominent entertainment districts that have the same problems, but a lot of it gets hidden. Chicago. Democrats rule it. New York. Democrats rule it. And the sad thing is the Republicans are no answer. The Republicans want to say we need free market, but they're not willing to invest to let that free market start. They're not willing to help that free market get off the ground. They want to sit here and scream and cry, the Democrats do this, the Democrats do that, much as I'm doing right now. But the reality is they haven't given us a plan to change that game. And that's the problem we're going to contend with. That's the problem we're going to continue to have until we start getting rid of these clowns like your Greg Fishers. When we start getting rid of these fake, false street prophets like your Kevin Cosby's and a few other of these street reverends. When you get rid of the people like Clarence Yancey's or the Denise Bentley's who continue to take cash and pay these reverends a bunch of money to put out nickel and dime to get people to lie and have the West End community vote for these Democratic leaders. Well, they're the only ones who care about us. I say it's time to wake up. Because you've been listening to that lie for 50 or 60 years now. When do you realize a lie is a lie is a lie and wake up and take ownership, not only of yourself, but ownership of your community and ownership of the elected leaders who continue to hold you back? You want to get involved? Get with some people. Give me a call. Call me at my office, 742-8519, area code 502. Call me at the office. Write to me at myviewmatters@AOL.com. We'll get you hooked up with people that are really going to try to make a difference. We're going to get you hooked up with people who don't buy into this philosophy. And I'll get you hooked up with people within the community down in the West End and communities across the city that say enough is enough. It's time to move forward, folks. It's time to move forward because this crap just ain't working. That's it for tonight. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, right here, same time, same channel. Right, Mr. Martin?
Yes, sir.
All right, and we'll see you then, folks. Have a great night. Thank you, sir.
All right. Have a good one, Mr. Frankson.
All right. Thanks again, Paul, for the call. Take care.